Today, inflation not dead, just resting at best. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, the monthly ABS data on inflation has come in with a rate that accelerated faster than expected in July, moving closer to the top of the Reserve Bank's 2-3% target. It jumped to 2.8%. That's the highest annual rate since July 2024 and well above June's 1.9%. A caveat as always, those monthly indicators are partial and move about quite a bit, but it does suggest the RBA will need to be cautious about further rate cuts ahead. Recall that the monthly consumer price index indicator was developed to provide inflation data at a higher frequency for use by governments, economists, and the wider community. The quarterly CPI remains the principal measure of household inflation. The monthly CPI indicator was derived using available data from the quarterly CPI, and the ABS collects prices for the CPI in a range of frequencies, including monthly, quarterly, and annually. The frequency of price collection is determined by how often prices change. Where price changes occur frequently, such as for food and petrol, monthly price data is collected. But where price changes are less frequent, such as for restaurant meals and hairdressers, price data is available just quarterly. In some cases, prices are collected once a year, where its known prices only change annually. This is the case for some education fees, property rates, and private health insurance. So for this reason, the composition of the monthly CPI basket varies across the 3 months in the quarter. Referring to the latest monthly results, economists were looking for an acceleration to 2.3%. The RBA's favoured trimmed mean measure, which smooths out volatile items such as food and energy, rose 2.7% in July from 2.1% in the prior month, and the CPI excluding volatile items and holiday travel measures rose 3.2% in the 12 months to July, compared to 2.5% in the 12 months to June. The largest contributors to this rise was housing, up 3.6%, food and non-alcoholic beverages up 3%, and alcohol and tobacco up 6.5%. Within the housing category, electricity costs rose 13.1% in the 12 months to July, compared to a 6.3% fall in the 12 months to June. In monthly terms, electricity costs rose 13% in July. There were two main reasons for the monthly increase. The largest contributor was that households in New South Wales and the ACC did not receive payments for the extended Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund in July. Payments of rebates for households in New South Wales and ACT will instead commence in August. This means that those households had higher out-of-pocket costs for electricity in July. In addition to this, prices rose due to annual electricity price reviews coming into effect. Comparing the indices for electricity and with and without the changes relating to the Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund, it shows that for the month of July, costs excluding the impact of EBRF rose 4.8%. The increase in electricity costs inclusive of the impact of EBRF was higher, 13%, mainly due to households in New South Wales and the ACT not receiving rebates in July. Rents rose 3.9% in the 12 months to July, following a 4.2% rise in 12 months to June. That's actually the lowest annual growth in rental prices since November 2022, consistent, they say, with stable vacancy rates across most capital cities. But I don't think this actually reflects the real costs of rents, which are rising still, as I see in my surveys. This data from CBA confirms that. New dwelling prices rose 0.4% in the 12 months to July, unchanged from the 0.4% rise in the 12 months to June. Annual growth in new dwelling prices remains low, reflective of subdued new home markets and deep discounts, of course. Holiday travel and accommodation prices rose 3.3% in the 12 months to July. That was after a 3.7% fall in the 12 months to June. In monthly terms, holiday travel and accommodation rose 4.7% in July, as the July school holidays saw strong demand and higher prices for domestic airfares and accommodation. Annual inflation for food and non-alcoholic beverages was 3% in July compared to 3.2% in June, and has remained above 3% for the past 11 months. While annual inflation eased for some food categories in July, coffee, tea and cocoa prices continue to rise, up 14.4% in the past 12 months. This comes as supply has been affected by adverse weather conditions impacting major overseas coffee bean growing areas, the ABS said. The upshot of all this is that it will likely bias the RBA towards a more cautious hold in rates at its late December meeting, and that'll be amid fears that disinflation narrative has largely run its course, at least for now. On the dovish side, though, the head of Australia Economics at Moody's suspects that price pressures will ease as government energy rebates kick in ahead and seasonal travel-related price surges typically fade after school holidays end in July. So from a policy perspective, this print complicates but should not derail the easing narrative, they said. Policy-sensitive two-year government bond yields rose, extending an earlier gain as traders trimmed rate expectations through the next year. RBA meeting linked swaps indicate the central bank will stay on hold in September, with the next reduction still fully priced in for November. And traders then see a further cut in May 2026, pushing back their expectations from March. The RBA, of course, cut its cash rate by a quarter percentage point this month to 3.6%. That's the third reduction of the year. Governor Michelle Bullock said the central bank will need to ease a couple times more to meet its forecast for inflation and employment, though she signalled a desire to tread very carefully. Bullock has described the monthly CPI indicators as volatile and not quite representative of what's really going on with inflation. She has, of course, expressed greater confidence in the more comprehensive quarterly inflation report. The monthly gauge still gives RBA officials a sense of the trajectory of consumer prices, though, and last month the ABS also said it will begin publishing complete monthly measure inflation from November 2026, addressing a long-standing gap in Australia's economic data. The development will bring the nation in line with most of its development world peers. But the takeout from all of this is that inflation, well, it probably was resting for a little while, but now seems to be reasserting itself. And this will indeed complicate the Reserve Bank's measures ahead. Remember, of course, that interest rates are still quite high relative to where they were 2 or 3 years ago, and people are still spending a lot more than they were 2 or 3 years ago. So while inflation may have come down a little and wage growth is up a little, overall, many households remain caught in this vice, this trap. And this has been created by many years of bad policy and the RBA reacting in the wrong time frames, both before and now. The bottom line is, don't expect rate cuts anytime soon. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.